if Jesus' teachings are about this beautiful kingdom where people flourish and things are being made new and we're following him and obeying his commands, then we've got more to do than just say, I'm so glad I'm adopted.
I'm Jennifer Murphy.
I'm Michael Murphy.
And you are listening to Vintage Stories. Today, we actually sat down with our good friend, Matt Stevens, who normally sits on the other side of the mic and edits these podcasts. But today, we talked to him about the Citizen series that we're going through this year.
Yeah, enjoyed this conversation to learn a little bit more about how Vintage actually plans and creates these series that we all can do together and across all of our different locations.
Yeah, it's kind of cool to hear about practically how they came up, even just with the imagery and the idea and where all of that comes from and how we apply that in our lives to live out what it means to be citizens of the kingdom.
So without further ado, let's go ahead and dive in.
We're sitting down with Matt Stevens, our good friend, to talk about the Citizen series. There's tons of stickers and pins and super fun stuff. Just want to hear more about how that got started. Where did this idea come from?
Philippians 3:20 says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait for a savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Citizen goes back a few years because we realized a few years ago that while we have a great understanding of being an adopted son and daughter, a lot of songs about that, a lot of sermons about that, we really don't understand what it means to be a citizen in God's kingdom. This kind of hit me in 2020. I saw a lot of people not knowing how to reconcile their faith with the rampant racism that we see, mm-hmm. the hatred, the divisiveness of political parties, you know?
Jeez.
Yeah, what a year, right?
Yeah, that was terrible.
And it seemed like people within the church were a little shell-shocked. Mm-hmm. Equality, unity, equity, like those are all biblical kingdom of God issues. But you'd see people being like, okay, I'm adopted, I'm a child of God, but then they wouldn't know how to handle social issues or just loving your neighbor issues. Mm. And so it seemed like Christianity was reduced to this just soul relationship with Jesus, me and Jesus, right? Jesus came to renew all things. He came to be the king of Israel that was promised. He came to fulfill Israel. Like Israel wasn't just a failed, embarrassing experiment. And God's like, ugh, go down there and clean that up. He's like, no, he came to fulfill that. You get into Matthew and he says, like, the kingdom of God is here over 50 times. That's his main message. We're supposed to be seeing God's kingdom extend through our neighborhoods, our workplaces. It should change the way we look at the environment. It should change the way we look at people of all nations, all cultures. It should change the way we look at everything.
Yeah.
We're missing something here. Growing up in the United States, arguably one of the most highly individualistic cultures ever, you know, so focused on me, this American dream is me focused, and it's what I'm going to do. I think that the principles of the kingdom of God are really difficult for us to live out and understand. When we look at scripture, a lot of times we kind of see the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as, well, that's what Jesus did. And that's good. And he did that to prove that he was divine. That's not for us. But the Great Commission, in Matthew 28, Jesus says, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Awesome. Christians love that, you know. But then he says, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded.
Yeah.
And John, he says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And his commands are so often about caring for widows and orphans, caring for those in need, you know. Who is my neighbor? He tells the parable of the Good Samaritan, well, your neighbor is like the last person you would think it would be. Mm. He's extremely concerned with how we care, not just for other Christians in the church, but just people in general, made in his image, right? If Jesus's teachings are about this beautiful kingdom where people flourish and where things are being made new and we're following him and obeying his commands, then we've got more to do than just say, I'm so glad I'm adopted.
So we have all these awesome items, I guess you could say, stickers, stuff for your car, temporary tattoos, all this kind of just like fun stuff. And the bump videos show how people might be like the Girl Scout with her patch on her vest. And I wonder what you envision. Someone says, oh, what's that green sticker on your hard hat? What do you envision? And what do you hope that people are sharing? And I'm sure it's going to be very personal for everybody, but what's kind of your vision for that?
Yeah, so anytime that we do a series, we sit down. Amy Jones is our art director of many years. And so if you like any of the logos or anything, like, she's the one who makes things look amazing.
Nice.
Amy and I sit down and we kind of back up to what the goal of the theme is.
Yeah.
You know, what the goal of the year is. And the goal really was that people would, again, see their responsibility and their role and the rights of being a citizen in the kingdom of God. So we wanted people to see that being a citizen doesn't mean you go join full-time ministry. And in our day and time, people often, when they say the church, well, the church is the people.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they just mean like the staff.
Yeah.
And the staff is there to do the ministry. No, your whole life is supposed to be living as a citizen in the kingdom of God. And so that means that changes how you work, how you parent, how you do your hobbies, whatever it is. Like, that's your main identity. And so with the video, we wanted to show people doing what they do, but they have put something on, right? And so that's a sticker. It's a button. It's a, what's it called?
A patch.
It's a patch. What's the thing on the Crocs?
Oh, it's like...
Fidget.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I like how Crocs have that hole. They have like a thing where you could put it on there through the hole in the Croc.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Gibbets.
Gibbets. Okay, yeah, I didn't even know gibbets. They were called that.
Yeah. Wait, do we have gibbets?
Yeah, we got gibbets. So,
wow.
So we wanted with that for people.
I feel like you should have Crocs.
You what?
I feel like Michael should have Crocs. I just feel like they would be very functional for him. Instead of outdoor slippers, you'd have Crocs.
Outdoor slippers? What is that?
He always has this.
Flip-flops? No. Do you call them outdoor slippers?
It's just like a problem we have in our house where he has his slippers and then he's like, I have to go check something in the backyard. And it's like, well, now your slippers have been outside in the mud and now you want to wear them on the rug. So he just used his old.
So you have outdoor slippers.
Yeah. So it's slippers only for being outside. It's like some people might call them like shoes. But Michael just uses his slippers. It's like they don't really leave the property line, but they can go outside.
So you're wearing slippers. You walk to the door. You take off your indoor slippers.
Yes.
And you put on your outdoor slippers.
Yes.
This is amazing.
They're literally the exact shoes. Like
the same ones.
Exactly the same.
Yeah. It's weird.
It's fine. Our house is normal. Totally fine.
Yeah. I have to have slippers on.
Routines.
And I can't wear those slippers outside, so no. I need to do something else.
That's great. But yes, yeah, so.
Crocs would be good.
And we got gibbets for you.
Thank you.
The video idea came with seeing people in their normal everyday habitat, and they are putting on something because they are choosing to identify themselves as a citizen. That's what that symbol means. Once we did a second video, because we wanted to do as many examples as we could, that's when we made it available to people.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't want a week one go, hey, here's some stuff. You know, people grab it not knowing. It's like we wanted people to see and go, oh, when I take this sticker, I'm putting it on. I'm identifying myself as a citizen of God's kingdom.
It's an awesome reminder. I actually have it on my phone.
There it is.
And I often look at it and it reminds me, like just randomly during the day. I think it's pretty cool. I also know that some other folks in our community group had put them on like water bottles and different things that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started conversations in the gym or something like that.
That's great. So, yeah. Because I think a lot of people may have grown up or have an understanding of, as an individual, my soul is saved. That's it, right? Jesus just came to kind of pluck me up. I've got that ticket to heaven. Then that means that you're just kind of hanging out and your only job is just to tell people about Jesus, right? But in the kingdom, you've been given gifts. You've been given a personality. You've been given a calling to be who you are. It's not just to earn the opportunity to tell people, hey, Jesus loves you and died for your sins. Let's say you're a banker. You are there to promote the things that are of God. That is justice, mercy, love, equity. You will use your job just so that the world will flourish. Think about artists in the church, because I work with a lot of creatives. And let's say that you are an artist in the church. A lot of times it's, hey, if you're going to be a Christian and an artist, then God is really happy with the stuff that you do that you put a cross on. But anything abstract or anything that's not, you know, he's not as happy without that because it doesn't point to him. Whereas, no, you're creating beauty.
Yeah.
And just by making beauty, you are imaging the creator who came up with beauty. It changes everything about your life when you're a citizen. And it's a much more exciting life that we're called to make the world look like God's going to make it look when he returns. Mm.
That actually reminds me of something that Jordan says a lot about pursuing things with gospel intentionality. Mm-hmm. And like you're saying, it doesn't mean approaching a conversation and beforehand praying and saying, God, I want to tell this person about the book of John or whatever. And that would be awesome if that happened. It would be great to be able to share that with people who you encounter. But it might just mean thinking about, how am I representing myself as a citizen of the kingdom when I board the bus to get to my job, or I have this interaction in a coffee shop, or I'm having a meeting with my coworkers, and reframing it. And I think it's kind of awesome because this is something that can really remind you to do that.
Yeah. I've always wondered, how on earth did our ancestors go to church on Sunday and own people?
Yeah.
How do they reconcile that? How do you walk outside of the church building and then deal with that? You know, yeah. It seems a lot like the gospel got reduced at some point to souls. There's no equality among people, but it's just like, well, you can let the slaves have their church and you really desire that their soul gets saved. But when you look at the kingdom of God, there's no room for racism. Like, there's absolutely none, because it's all nations. Our neighbor is the person we would last think it would be. The kingdom just shakes everything up. There's no room for inequality. There's no room for disunity. There's no room for anything except love and serving one another. And I think that humans are really good, and we as Americans are really good at trying to reduce the gospel to something that will still allow us to do whatever we want to do.
Yeah.
You know, when you get into the kingdom, Jesus is just like, the last will be first. And you're like, oh man, how do I reckon with that?
We're just going to continually be uncomfortable because we're citizens of the kingdom, but the kingdom's not fully present here. So The way that our flesh wants us to act, like our kind of natural tendency, isn't the way the kingdom is supposed to work. So it's going to be uncomfortable. We're going to feel that tension for sure.
Yeah.
I just wonder how much of that is still very present in our day-to-day lives.
Racism?
Making the word and the way that we act in the world conducive to what we want to do. There's some brokenness, but that's the problem with ourselves. We're broken. So we all are saying like, hey, some of that stuff's not good. And even while we're saying some things are not good and we're going to improve, what are the things that are like still really broken? And that's kind of what I was thinking about, which I don't really know where to go with that. But
yeah, like when you have distance from something from now, like when there's distance from today, people will be saying the
like
same thing.
Years?
Yeah. Like people will be saying,
yeah,
how did Jennifer and Matt and Michael record this podcast in the midst of what they were doing in their lives that was not reflecting Jesus?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think one of the things is going to be how Christians have melded the gospel together with politics.
Yeah.
And that's not to say you shouldn't practice politics.
Mm-hmm.
What issue are we talking about? You may, through the kingdom, land on a Republican side or Democratic side, but you can't say that Christianity is Republican or Democrat.
Yeah.
You know, you just can't. It's the kingdom of God. But I think that the way that, especially in America, it just seems like on either side, churches, they've melded the gospel with either Republicanism or being a Democrat.
Mm-hmm. That divisiveness is so like off. Right?
Yeah.
It's like, no, that's actually the thing. It's like, we can't be so divisive about things like that. It's like, we should be, I guess maybe that's the thing. It's like, hey, bring everyone together as, put first things first. First thing being you're a citizen in the kingdom. And that person across from you that thinks differently than you about a couple different things, still a citizen in the kingdom. So I'm going to love and respect that person, although we may have some different thoughts.
Give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's.
Yeah. And so any decision that you make cannot contradict your citizenship and the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
Any political decision, any social decision. We have to reckon with Jesus' teachings. We're recording this on a Sunday, and in today's sermon, Tyler had that quote from John Stott, and that floored me because he chose somebody who you would think is on just the sort of like, oh, the gospel is about people being saved only. And Stott said, I don't remember the exact quote, but it just said, like, you have to reckon with how you treat the poor. And a lot of times people just dismiss that and go, oh, well, that's just a really left-leaning gospel. It's not really the gospel. It's the social justice movement. We look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John means that Jesus saved us. And then we really learn how to be a Christian from Paul and Peter. you know, in John. It's like, no, it's Jesus said you'll obey everything I commanded you. We should make our informed decisions. We should have political stances and views. But as citizens of the kingdom, they can't go against it. Yeah. That's the thing. I don't know. I think that's going to be one of the things of our day and age.
The Citizen series kind of started as we dug into Matthew. Mm-hmm. Where does it go from there? Once we wrap up kind of our sermon series on Matthew, how does it play into where we go next?
So May 1st begins May. Revelation.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Depending on your church background, Revelation may be something that is like really weird or just kind of weird.
I think there's a demon with like seven heads or something. So.
Oh, it's crazy, yeah. Man. Yeah, it's like by far the most apocalyptic of all of the books of the Bible. There's different, but it's written in such a way that calls back a ton of Old Testament prophecies or writings. It's all these visions and stories and everything. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it is all about Jesus is the king upon the throne. Hmm. We always have a progression for series throughout the year. So we learned about what it means to be a citizen in the kingdom of the king. And now, when we get into Revelation, we're going to be looking forward to what the future holds for us when the king is on the throne. The future holds really for all creation. We're splitting it up into three parts. Part one in May is the churches. He has letters to churches. Part two is going to be about worship. And so we're going to look at what it looks like to bow down to the king in worship. And we're going to be looking at the different ways they portray the king, the lamb, the rider on the white horse. Like every week is going to be different. It's going to be really focused on corporate worship. And then part three is going to be about the new humanity, the new kingdom, where it talks about the king reigning over every tribe, nation, and tongue, and what it looks like for all things to be made new. Because really, we should be living now in light of what's coming. When Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is near, or the kingdom of God is here, he's going to come and fulfill it. But in the meantime, we know how we should be living, and that's how things are going to end up one day. But that affects how we live now. That's where our hope is. That's where our guidance is. The book of Revelation, while it has a ton of symbolism, there's a lot of depth and beauty to what it means to be a citizen in there too. So I think it's going to be a really beautiful series.
I'm excited. I really, to be honest, haven't spent a lot of time in Revelation, and I'm excited to dig into it and actually in a way that's an application to how I live my life. So
yeah.
That'd be really cool.